talking a lot about the Knicks, their chances, a must-win game, in my opinion, coming up here in Game 5, getting back at, home to the Garden. But obviously, they need to win 2 out of 3. However it gets done, it's got to get done. For the Yankee fan out there, I think you're content with where the team is, having a day off. They go to Minnesota, which Minnesota, the Twins are actually decent this year. Don't assume that those are your father's twins out there. We can't assume that they're going to waltz into Target Field and just take the series from them. But they, you know, they take the series from the Tampa Bay Rays. They handle business. They score a lot of runs. And all in all, I think if you're a Yankee fan, you got to feel good about where this team is without the reigning AL Cy Young winner, without a young man that we call the Martian, who's on the way back, going to start rehab games. DJ LeMahieu is on the way back, and you'll have the trade deadline for the Mets fans. I mean, the team is teeter-tottering around 500. It seems like the attendance is what it is. I don't think that the attendance is a direct correlation to the fans' feelings around the team. But, man, they got to get hot. They got to go on a win streak at some point, and maybe they do that when they get their ace back and a couple other pieces. What's the countdown on Francisco Alvarez? It's got to be like 4 weeks now. Definitely need that dude back. 877-337-6666. Talking Knicks, talking Yanks, talking a little bit of Mets. And, man, the third period is about to start for the New York Rangers. Win this period, and you advance to the Eastern Conference Finals. Keith McPherson on the Fan, taking your calls. Let's get back to it. Sergio and Wayne, you're on the Fan in New York.
Hey, what's going on? Hey.
What's up?
Great job. I've been calling for years with Summers, and, hey, you've been picking it up on point, man. So I appreciate your job and your work.
Thank you.
But with the Knicks, man, I take it back to the Mason days, the Oakley days, where people had to really rough it out to get in the paint and make some scoring. They need to get back to that in order to win this thing, and I think they will do that. The defense is going to be the key. The offensive rebounds is going to be the key, and I think they could do this. They're going to make it. They're going to get to that next point. And the Rangers tonight, man, I'm telling you, I was just with my boy here, and he's, like, all excited about it. I think they're going to pull it off. So that's a go-to right there. But the Knicks, I guarantee you, if they're defensive, if they're blocking, if they're getting those offensive rebounds, and if they're doing their defense, we could pull this thing off. And, hey, great job.
Thanks again for the call, Sergio. 877-337-6666. When he started his call talking about, you know, going back to the Mason days, I don't know. That's another narrative that I'm just like, those Knicks teams have nothing to do with this team at all. Besides, some of those old faces like John Starks are in the building. It's a different league. You know, I think I heard today, like, someone's got to punch TJ McConnell in the face and get suspended, get ejected and get suspended. And you're already down bodies. You can't play around like that. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't make sense. Yeah, somebody go after TJ McConnell. Okay, yeah, then they'll assess that as a flagrant two, and you'll be thrown out of the game or technical, whatever. Like, they can't afford to do that. They can't afford to send somebody after a guy to send a message. You got to play your game, play basketball. And Sergio said, if they're playing defense, if they're rebounding, which for the most part in this series, they out-rebounded them, and they've played better defense than we saw yesterday for sure on them. In the Garden, it's a different kind of place. In a Garden, you expect to see them get back to doing what helped them win the first two games, but I know they are a different team without OG Anunoby now. OG Anunoby is a guy that you can put on whoever, whether it's Pascal Siakam, whether it's Tyrese Haliburton, whether it's Miles Turner. He's locking people down. Man, he is just a problem on defense. And, of course, right, just the Knicks' luck. You get his best offensive performance in potentially the last game he plays in this series or maybe this year. It sucks. That's what I'm saying. We look at this Knicks team, and there's people that are critical. There's people that believe. There's people that are ready to cop out. But all in all, this year is a success no matter what happens. No matter what happens, however this series shakes out. You want to see them win the series, of course. You want to see them advance. But like I just said about that not too long ago, you in this war of attrition, you are worn down. You're down to having not enough bodies to go into battle with, barely. And if you survive this series, what awaits you? What's your prize in the next series? A Boston Celtics team who I know everybody on paper has got them as the greatest team ever, but just in theory, they're healthier. They're longer than you. Pause. They just have like a different, they just have a different way of playing basketball and different guys. And matchup-wise, I know the Knicks went up there and kind of punched them in the mouth in the regular season. This is not the regular season, and we don't need to get ahead of ourselves. Focus is on Game 5. But it's funny, right? I took a call last week about how the Knicks are going to stop Anthony Edwards. I'm like, what? So you basically jumped the Timberwolves out of the second round into the finals, just skipped the whole third round, and the Knicks out of the second round, skipped the whole third round, the conference finals into the finals. No, just lock in. One game at a time. And Jalen Brunson said, you know, it's a long-ass series. It's a long series. You saw him. There's a video floating around on the internet, him saying that and knowing that. These players know that. And, man, Sean Manaea, six strong innings. He goes six innings, only gives up four hits, one run, one walk, six Ks. Sean Manaea finding it tonight. And over his last four starts, let's see, Anthony DeComo, right? Sean Manaea was excellent tonight, lowering his season ERA to 3.05. But over his last four starts, his ERA is 2.08. So what I'm talking about, oh, no. There's the goal to tie it in the third period. No, I just lost my train of thought. Carolina scores. It's 1-1 now in the third. And now this next 16 and a half minutes is going to feel a lot different. Show the replay again. Anyway, what I was saying about the Mets is it's about pitching. You have enough hitters, right? I actually got to go back to another Anthony DeComo tweet. Shout out to him. He came to the MLB Fan Cave 10 years ago when I was in there, and I've been following him ever since. He does great work covering the Mets. And if you want to stay in the know on what's happening with your amazing Mets, he's the guy. Oh, I see the replay now. This is a tough goal. It's just, these guys are fighting for their lives. This is a period where they know they lose this period, they're done for the season. Everything you work for this season ends right now. If you stand up here, it's tied now. They got to survive 16 minutes, force an overtime, or steal it in regulation. So got eyes on that as it's coming down to the wire. But yeah, back to what Anthony DeComo wrote about the Mets. He said the right-handed muscle in New York's batting order is heating up. Pete Alonso is 4 for his last 6 with 2 extra base hits. J.D. Martinez is 4 for his last 7 with a homer and 2 doubles. Those two are a combined 4 for 5 with a walk tonight. So what I was saying before is the lineup, I don't think you're going to be that worried about the lineup as it gets warmer, as Lindor comes into his and Pete Alonso and J.D. Martinez gets back. And now these guys are used to being in the lineup. Nimmo here. I don't know who needs to pick it up. Jeff McNeil. But you got guys that fill in the blanks like Tyrone Taylor and DJ Stewart and even a Brett Beatty. They give you enough. Man, you got to be thinking about, okay, let's get Kodai Senga back. Let's see what Tyler McGill can be for us. And then Christian Scott is here. You have Luis Severino. You have Sean Manaea. Adrian Hauser has moved to the bullpen. Maybe in a month, we're looking at this team like, okay, they're not teeter-tottering around being a 500 ball club. They have the pieces to get hot and go on a run and give them some breathing room over 500. 877-337-6666. Just went off on a little Mets tangent. Back to the other blue and orange team in New York who plays a game 5 in the Garden tomorrow that everybody knows is a must win. Ralph is in Waterbury, Connecticut on the Fan. Go for it, Ralph.
Hey, Keith, how you doing, man? Thanks for taking my call.
No problem. You got it.
Couple things, man. First of all, about Anthony being the Mets guy, and if you need to know anything about the Mets, check with him. And I get that. I appreciate the shout-outs that you gave him. But I need you to know that you're my guy for the Yankees, man. I don't have time. I work a lot. I don't watch a lot of the games. I listen to you to get the information I need, so you're my guy.
Oh, thanks. I thought you were about to give me some reporter to follow for the Mets, which I follow a bunch of them, or a Yankees reporter.
Yep.
What, You know, I'm not the smartest guy. I don't know everything about baseball or the team. But when you hear me talk about the Yankees, you're talking about, you know, somebody that as a fan has sat in every section of that stadium, that cares about the team, that watches all these games, that follows the team like you do. I'm no better than anybody. I don't know any better than anybody. But when I get on this mic, I just speak freely about the team and how I feel. And obviously that connects with a lot of you.
There you go. There you go. And I, you know, like I said, I know what you know because I listen to you at night. I work a lot during the day. I don't get to see a lot of the games, yeah. But anyway.
Thank you, Ralph.
Shout out to Jackson and that stain in the rug the other night. You wish you had three hands. I get it, man. I've been there, and man, I smiled with a warm heart because I know what that's like, man. And dude, you got a lot of that stuff coming at you, man.
I think my wife is listening. I told my wife. I'm cleaning a poopy stain out of the carpet dealing with this guy.
Dude, but that's life. That's real stuff, dude. You know what I mean? And when he gets oil all over the driveway, and you know, dude, you got all kinds of stuff.
It is what it is. I love him. I'm cleaning more than I've ever cleaned in my life because I'm cleaning up after my son all day. You think something is clean, and I'm doing different dishes and cleaning the floors more than ever.
And dude, that's what I love about your show, man, is you bring it real with the Mets and the Yankees and all of that, and you do what you can with the hockey, and then you bring us into your home, and you don't get no more real than that, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
One last thing on the Knicks, dude, and I follow you with that as well. They play with heart, man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Look what they've done all season. It's a success. They've changed the they re-established the culture. The future is so bright. Let's just see it one game at a time. You know what I mean? Let's see what happens. Yeah, we're down hard and we're down bodies and all of that. But they play the game for a reason. It don't look good on paper, but let's see what happens tomorrow night.
I can't wait to watch the game. I'm all in. I was all in to watch it yesterday, and it was over so fast. I can't wait for this next game to start.
The only thing I disagreed with you about in the last 2 months was I wasn't worried about Judge, man. And I'm not saying that because he's doing good now.
And shout out to all the Yankee fans that had confidence in Judge and weren't worried about Judge. I'd be worried about everything.
Honest to God, man. I didn't give it a second thought. He's going to be who he is and yada, yada, yada. And, you know, let's just enjoy the season. And we got two parades this year. You know what I mean? The Rangers and the Yankees. Come on. Bring it, New York.
I would love it. Thanks for the call, Ralph, and the compliments and, you know, kicking back some stuff that I've put out there on air. Unfortunately, the Carolina Hurricanes have scored two goals in a matter of 3 minutes to completely flip this game. This Kuznetsov, that's his fourth goal of the playoffs. Bro, they are, I don't know. As I was just talking about, win one period, the same mentality goes for the Hurricanes. They're clearly trying to win this period to save their season and get back to Carolina. Hockey is nuts. How quick that all flipped in 3 minutes from going into the third period, Rangers up 1-0, and you're thinking, hey, just survive this period. Now they're down one. Now they got to fight to tie the period, and we might be in overtime, or who knows? Man, now I'm like, how do I watch the show? I can't look down. I was looking up at both goals, trying not to react on the mic. But this is now the momentum has swung into the favor of the Hurricanes there. Playing with a little bit more energy. They're skating around. They're hitting. They're feeling themselves. They hadn't scored all game until we got to 3.5 minutes into the third period, 6.5 minutes into the third period. Rangers fans, call me up. We're getting close to the end of game five in the Garden as we're waiting game five in the Garden for the New York Knicks. Law of the Garden. I don't know if you guys believe in that whole Law of the Garden thing. Like, when one team is up, the other team's got to come down. I don't know. We'll see what happens. This game is not over yet. We won't get ahead of ourselves. 877-337-6666. But going back to what Ralph said, and not just the Judge thing, and for real, I mean it. Shout out to the Yankee fans that were not worried about Judge at all. I'm different than that. I'm worried about every facet of the game. I look at the Yankees like I'm the manager every day. I'm worried about the lineup. And I know it's a small sample size, but it wasn't. But shout out to you if you were just that confident in what you were seeing in Judge or that confident in the past of Aaron Judge that he would figure it out. He has. And that's all we want. That's all of us. We want the same thing. Oh, the putback's got to be there. Zoo, He had it. So,
bro, that's brutal.
Yeah, that was it right there. So going back again to what Ralph said about the Knicks, how many times have we said these guys play with heart? Pun intended or no pun intended, because they have two guys with heart in their name, Hartenstein and Josh Hart, I Heart and Josh Hart. And they play with heart, man. And that's why everybody loves them. That's why the city is behind them. That's why the city believes, because they embody New Yorkers. They embody what we want to see in the New York Knicks. But call a spade. Reality is they do not have their full team. And every year in the playoffs, somebody is affected by injury. Every year, somebody doesn't have their full complement of guys. In the first round, you saw Giannis and the Bucks, who fired their coach, who was in first place when they fired him. First or second place, I think, had 31 wins and like 13 losses. They fired that man to bring in Doc Rivers because they thought that that was going to be the move to get them back to the NBA Finals. Giannis being hurt, they didn't have a chance. It is what it is. Giannis got hurt in the last week of the NBA season. How come nobody's looking at Doc Rivers saying, oh, he ran him into the ground? Oh, last week of the season, he should have been resting for the playoffs. Because you can't do that. You got to play, and you got to win the games you're in for seeding, and then you worry about that later. And same thing with the Knicks. They should have rested Brunson. No, because if you win game three, which they were so close to winning game three, if you win game three, you have a commanding lead where you can steal a game without OG down the stretch. If you wave the white flag, you're giving up the game anyway. So I don't believe in that, especially in the postseason. These games are so precious. It's the first to four. And I think the Knicks have a good shot of still being the first to four, but you can't look at it as a first to four. Now you look at it as a three-game series without OG Anunoby, and the Knicks have to just be the better team so much so. They have to go above and beyond to be the better team, the team that hustles more, the team that plays better defense, the team that shoots better, the team that rebounds better, the team that hits their free throws more, because they don't have the guys that they put the team together expecting to play. They're missing two starters right now. Technically three, if you want to say. Like, you know, they probably envisioned Mitchell Robinson being the starting five and then having OG and Randall out there. And now you don't have those guys. And you also don't have a guy off the bench. It might sound like excuses, but at this point, it's not an excuse. It's you got to look at the team and look at where they're at and understand, hey, no one wants to lose. You don't go into these games thinking they're going to lose, but you understand when you lose bodies, you lose players, you're just completely up against it. And the Pacers are already a team that's a deep team that runs a lot of guys out there. Let's see what game five looks like. The Pacers have not won a game in Madison Square Garden. Ryan is in Oceanside on the Fan. You got it, Ryan. Go for it.
Keith, what's happening, my man?
Watching this Rangers game now, and I'm just like, man, the tone has completely changed. And I just looking at the way the Hurricanes are skating around now, and the Rangers just missed a putback. But anyway, yeah, you know, the Knicks instead.
Anyway, yeah. Well, hopefully they pull through, although I am an Islander fan. But want to talk about my Knicks. Having some doubts, man, about this, you know, speaking of OG Anunoby. You know, he's a great player, great defender, but, I mean, I'm looking back on this trade now, and I'm wondering if we gave up too much for him, man. R.J. Barrett, Emmanuel 3-1, Quickley,
3-1 Hurricanes. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I'm looking at Zoo.
So good.
And I'm like, I don't know, that's tough. 10 minutes left. But go on. Sorry to interrupt you. Just had to let folks know.
You got to let them know, bro. That's your job. You know? Anywho.
OG
Anunoby. I don't know, man. This trade is not looking too good. Great player, great defensive player. Never on the court.
Yeah, just
never plays.
Definitely an injury prone guy.
We gave up a lot for him, man. We gave up RJ Barrett. We gave up a great bench player in Emmanuel Quickley. These are two guys who didn't get hurt. And let's face it, RJ Barrett and Emmanuel Quickley, two good players. And now, you know, Precious Achiuwa, he's all right, I guess. But OG Anunoby, as good as he is, man, your best ability is availability as far as an athlete goes, in my opinion. And he's just not there, man.
So do you pay him? Do you pay him in the offseason? If he doesn't come back and the Knicks end up losing in this series or the next, do you pay OG if he doesn't return?
It's a good question, man. I think you have to.
Yeah, I think they're going to try. I think they're going to offer him and hope that they can get him back on the floor with Randle and the team that we saw in January that looked like they could beat anybody in the NBA.
Yeah, I don't want to sign Mitchell Robinson. I want him gone. He's hurt all the time too. Enough's enough with these guys, man.
Yeah, it's going to be a big offseason. It's going to be an interesting offseason for OG, for the Knicks, see what they do with Randle. I think a lot of folks have said, man, look at what they've done in this playoffs without Randle. Do they need Randle? But yeah, you bring up a great point about the trade and giving up pieces. What I'll say is this. They made that trade knowing that they didn't expect to go this far or further with RJ and IQ on the team, right? They knew getting OG, what he meant as a puzzle piece, putting him boop, into this puzzle, completed the set, and it just like they took off his plus minus right away. The amount of games they won right away, it's like this was a missing piece. But then Randle goes down and he gets hurt with the elbow, and we never really got to see that Nick. We never did. We never got to see that version of the Knicks that we saw in January again.
I mean, their record with OG Anunoby is great and all, but you know, I'll ask you, you know. Would you rescind the trade now have an RJ Barrett and an Emmanuel quickly coming off the bench and a Josh Hart coming off the bench?
No, still no. And I'll take it from here. Thank you for the call, Ryan. No, for a couple of reasons. I mean, you got to give to get. And I say that all the time in these trades. You're not getting you're not getting a player like OG Anunoby without giving up some guys. And I think that move was more than just the right fit on the court. I think it also was the right fit in the locker room. And I don't mean to try and start anything here, but like it's one thing to be RJ Barrett and IQ who were drafted here, and it was like they were ushering in a new culture for the Knicks. Then it's another thing to be Jalen Brunson, free agent signing, Josh Hart, who was traded, and then they get three of their boys together from Villanova with DiVincenzo, another signing, and it's like, it's clear this is Brunson's team. These are his boys that he's known for 6, 7, 8 years longer, and that's the direction that the Knicks are going in, not with the homegrown guys that they drafted. You know, it was like, time just had come. RJ Barrett, I don't think any Knicks fans are really missing what RJ Barrett brought to the table. Maybe IQ off the bench. But again, with IQ, they weren't going to pay him. He wasn't going to be a starter. This is Brunson's team. So, no, I wouldn't rescind the trade. Hindsight is 20/20. What I would rescind is the injury to OG. What I wish I could rescind is the injury to Julius Randle. Because in a year where the Knicks are able to win 50 games and get the 2 seed, it is unfortunate that they are now in a game 5 missing 2, 3 starters and another bench piece. 877-337-6666. Again, the Rangers are down 3-1. They're in the power play, but I could just tell everyone in the Garden is sitting down, stunned, shocked. I don't even have the volume on, but as soon as that third goal in the period came across, they cut to some fans, and fans are just hands in the air, looking up at the big board like WTF. Keith McPherson on the fan, KM to AM. Let's take a break, and we'll be right back. The Ranger faithfuls start to get out of their seats to beat the traffic, catch earlier trains. And I swear, before that empty net goal, the camera went to somebody walking out. And then it's a wrap. 4-1 with 3:31. I bet a bunch of correct scores. I did not have Carolina winning 4-1. Hockey is nuts. Earlier in my show, I talked about how there won't be any partying in the streets outside of Madison Square Garden because Rangers fans have been there before. They won't be celebrating this win if they got this win. And it doesn't look like they're going to get this win. There will be no celebrating, but they have been there before. They know this is a series now after, you know, going up 3-0. Bruh. and they flash President's Trophy winners lost in first or second round in 8 straight seasons. Why are you flashing that? Why are you putting that up there? Ah, sports. We love them. And I know we love football, and I said once we get to the halfway point of my show, I was going to bring in some football conversation. So bear with me if you don't like the NFL. But if you don't like the NFL, I'm not familiar with you. I don't know too many people that don't care about what's going on with the NFL. Where should we start? We can start with the schedule. So we know Pat Mahomes and the 2-time back-to-back champs, well, 3 times, but back-to-back champs looking for a three-peat, they are going to open the season at home against the team that they defeated in the AFC Championship. Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens. So the 2024 NFL season will kick off with a rematch of that game, and the Chiefs are already 3-point favorites at home. We also know America's team to laugh at, the Dallas Cowboys, will play the Browns week 1 at 4:25, and that got leaked out because that's going to be the first game Tom Brady calls on Fox. And speaking of Fox and the NFL, I think I heard one Boomer Esiason say, don't be surprised if the NFL gets in bed with Netflix. Speaking of Tom Brady, I still haven't watched the Tom Brady roast on Netflix. I don't think I ever will. But as we wait for the schedule to come out, there are rumors that Netflix is going to get involved here, maybe with these Christmas games, streaming the Christmas games exclusively on Netflix. Okay. NBC has announced that they have acquired an additional NFL game in the regular season. And that's the Saturday, December 21st game in week 16, lining up for the Christmas games that'll follow. And I said earlier that, you know, I noticed the national broadcast company is working, because there's also been a report that Bill Simmons hinted on his podcast that the NBA's new media deal with NBC has been agreed upon, and it should be announced after these NBA playoffs are done. And many people think that this is the last we'll see of the inside the NBA and NBA on TNT, that whole crew with Ernie Johnson and Kenny Smith and Charles Barkley and Shaquille O'Neal. You know about this?
Yeah, bro. So, I mean, it really is. It's going to be at least the end for Ernie for sure.
Yeah, and Ernie's, he's
I mean, Ernie's got his ties with TNT. I mean, Turner for decades. I mean, he's not leaving. He's already said as much.
Yeah.
As to he's not leaving. I know Charles.
His health is okay, though. He's 67.
Yeah, I mean, listen, he's probably closer to being done anyway, and I don't think switching up where you're working is going to be a good, you know, move for you anyway at that point for him. He's already going to have great work with Turner. He's probably going to take over a lot more with the baseball. But you're going to see, I think Charles is going to move wherever it goes. I think Shaq probably goes, but I think Kenny may be a casualty of them not being on Turner anymore. I think you might see them want to replace Kenny, maybe get somebody a little bit more, I don't know, maybe they
younger?
Bring Jamal Crea, exactly, somebody that played more recently.
Yeah, because it's going that way everywhere, right?
Well, especially since you look at it, and I mean, Shaq is a Shaq. Charles is Charles.
Right.
You know, you're going to have a host in there. So that next person, that guy needs to not only be kind of locked in on the X's and O's and what's going on right now, but they also got to be entertaining in their own way. So you got to go outside the box, I think. You got to find somebody that's going to come in and going to really, like, not shake it up, but just add that extra dynamic in there that they kind of are missing right now. And I was listening to a little talk before I came in here, and they were saying how, you know, the NBA on TR inside the NBA has been getting a lot of negative pub lately, like with all the stuff that's been going on, or not all the stuff that's been going on with them, but just like they're not as beloved as I think they once were.
Yeah, no.
I think that
definitely no Knicks fans have any love for them.
But I think ultimately, I think that also hurts these guys since, you know, hey, if they don't have the show locked in next year, somebody might go, all right, we want Charles. But you know what? Everybody else, we don't need you guys.
Nothing lasts forever. And the sports landscape right now, more than ever, they are looking for the cream of the crop, like the top guys that obviously have followers and polls and household names. But I'm seeing people come out of nowhere from podcasts, from YouTube, just internet people, TikTok people, Twitch people. And now, you know, these companies all have these platforms like DraftKings Network and FanDuel TV and Underdog Fantasy and Wave Sports. And they're just all trying to find the next person or persons that they can put together on some couches, set up some microphones, and shoot a YouTube podcast type show. That's what everything is going to now. Like, how can we find the next people for that? 877-337-6666. The game is over. The final score, 4-1, as the Carolina Hurricanes absolutely shocked the New York Rangers and anybody that was watching that game. They scored all four goals and the empty net goal, but all three goals, it was like they were saving it for the third period. And it was boom, 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 boom. Like, I'm looking at it, third period, goal with 3:33 into the period, 6:39 into the period, five. So within every 3 minutes, they're boom, boom, boom. And the Rangers had no response. And this is New York, it's Monday night, fans start hitting the door. And now you're looking at a series where the Rangers went up 3-0. And now it's 3-2 going back to Carolina. And when we talked about this series, we talked about how well Carolina had played despite the results. We talked about how close these games had been, but I gave a nod to the Rangers saying they're just that much better. They're able to edge them out. Well, the tide has turned in these last two games. They had a game they had to win in their building to stay alive, and then they come up to New York. And they saved the best for last. Oh, we're heading out the door. Bing, 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 bing. All right, now let's get on the bus, go to the airport, and fly back home. Rangers fans, call me up. 877-337-6666. We'll react to that. But let me get to my other calls on the Yankees, on the Knicks, and folks that have been waiting that were not thinking about the Rangers game. And I'll mix in the rest of my NFL conversation around who's getting paid. And then some local stories, obviously, with the Giants celebrating 100 years and rumors that, you know, the Jets were looking to hire somebody above Nathaniel Hackett. Keith McPherson on the Fan, taking your calls. Let's get back to the phone. Giuseppe is down in Tom's River. What's up, man? You're on the Fan. What's up, Giuseppe? You got it. You're on the Fan. All right, you were. Richie in Queens, I know you're ready to rock. Go for it, Richie. You're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith, how are you?
I'm good. I'm still kind of stunned at, like, it was like the Hurricanes, were they playing dead all game? And then just came alive in the third period? Like,
that you know, Keith, I was on the other day with Moose and a couple of things on the Knicks and the Rangers. You know, the Rangers have been outplayed in so many facets, whether it's shots on goals, face-offs. And the stats were so leaning towards Carolina. And hockey's the one game where you can sustain that if you have a hot goaltender. And it's not like the NBA. If you outshoot somebody in baseball, you score more runs, more than likely you're going to be ahead. And hockey is the difference. And I don't like the fact that you can close this series out. I think they're in trouble right now. They're absolutely. I know people say, oh, they're up 3-2. Yes. But when you got a chance to close it at home and you don't, and you get beat pretty substantially like they did in the fourth period, obviously the enthusiasm goes up on Carolina and the doubts come on. And when you look at the Rangers the last 5 years, it's always been they go into funk scoring. Their best chances is when they're shorthanded. Where's the Benajad? Where's Panarin? Where's Carter? Yeah,
Trouba scored the shorthanded goal tonight, and I was like, I don't think anybody had. I didn't even think to bet him. I bet on everybody else to score. I'm like, he's... He's a long shot.
And they went 24 minutes, and they had two shots on goal. Now,
yeah,
I've been meaning to talk to you during this whole NBA playoff. You know, again, I was on with Moose on Thursday, and I followed Ralph from Manhattan, who I love. And he was talking about, when we get past Indiana, what do you think we're going to do matching up against Cleveland or against the Celtics? And I just got on, and I got a little forceful with Moose, and I said, Moose, I can't even believe that you listened to that. I said, you know what? This team obviously was favored going in the Knicks because they had the gut and the guile. And that's another thing that bothers me. I don't want to hear that they don't have the intestinal fortitude. They're not tough. You know, tell that to McConnell. Tell that to Toppin off the bench. Tell that to Halliburton. They're playing really well. But when you lose what you did, you lose Nitsch, major problem, obviously, in the middle. It opens up things for McConnell. And then you lose OG. And then you've got 80% of Brunson. So at this particular point, to me, being a 70, almost 65-year fan, it's a crapshoot at this point, Keith. It really is. I just think that there's no way that you can come out and say that the Knicks really should. No, why? But why should they win at this point? They have lost their advantage, and you can't get over losing people like that.
Right.
It's like when Sandy Koufax got hurt. Well, somebody's going to have to step up. Well, what does that mean? You don't have Sandy Koufax.
Right.
You want people to step up, but this is a
short
term
now. They can step up and not be half of the guy that they're stepping up for.
Absolutely. What's your feeling? Do you feel that way?
I've been saying.
Think they're in trouble?
So what I said tonight was, going into this series, I expected Knicks in seven, a hard-fought series. But with Luka losing, but with assuming OG Anunoby was playing every game.
Right.
Losing OG Anunoby and seeing what they're down to, they're facing a team that has five guys that come off the bench. They're down to Brunson has to save them with a heroic 45-point performance on one foot,
happening.
Or they're not winning. Isaiah Hartenstein, he's got a shoulder right now.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's the odds have swung. I don't think when I saw them go up 2-0 with OG, even though OG got hurt in that game, I'm like, hey, they're in the driver's seat. They are no longer in the driver's seat. This is a must-win game tomorrow. They need Brunson to go off for 45. And how can I expect Brunson to go off for 45? He hasn't done it in the last couple games, and we know he's compromised.
He's not getting off the ground, and you know, there's no answer for Siakam. You know, Siakam is another good player, you know, and there's no real threat. OG was a
What I'm saying. You lose that defense from OG. Pascal Siakam and him were teammates, even Precious Achiuwa, but Precious Achiuwa is not going to give you the defense or offense. He's not giving you half of what you got out of OG.
Yeah, and when they come out for the bench, the other day, you had Toppin come off the bench and McConnell. They gave you 7 points in 2.5 minutes. We're not having that at this point. So, look, guts and guile can take you so far, but you got to put the ball in the basket. And right now, I just have a doubt. I really doubt that the...
it's a must-win game.
They need to play their best
game of the series tomorrow,
down to
the guys that they have. And if they don't, you feel a lot different about this series going back to Indiana with them down a game.
And the 1 point, too, when I didn't think they were going to win the third game, but the fact when they went up 9, in my mind, I said, you know, guys, I really feel like it's tough to say must game when you're up 2-0. But that was such a, obviously,
Friday night.
To be up
Friday night's the swing game. That game could have swung either way. If it swings in favor of the Knicks, you feel good about them getting one game out of these next three.
Right. Especially
but to
with
get two
their
without
injuries.
OG is tough, man.
Yeah. Yep. All right, Keith, good talking to you as always. I'm not going to ask you about any movies that you've seen because I know eventually you're going to say, Richie, you're not going to believe this, but I went to watch the movies this week and I sat up with two movies. When that happens, I want to be the first one to know, all right?
Thanks for the call, Richie. I have not watched any movies. I can't tell you the last movie
I saw. Especially this time of the year. There ain't no shot.
Nah, there's no way. I'm watching all these games. Thanks for the call, Richie. I'm watching the Mets game now. Don't look up now, but it's 4-3. Edwin Diaz on the mound facing Kyle Schwarber. 2 on, no outs, top of the 9th. We'll keep eyes on that. Come on, Sugar Diaz. Close it. Another 4-3 game. They got to come away with the win here. But the Phillies are they're the fighting Phils right now. 877-337-6666. Let's go to the calls for the Rangers now that game is over. We've been talking Knicks all night. We'll continue. I'm sure people have something to say about this Mets game. The Mets have to close this out. I mean, we're 3 outs away. We'll get to it. Greg is in White Plains, or maybe not. He's coming from the game. What's up, Greg?
My afternoon started by hearing on the Fan that Beningo was saying that we're going to the Cup. As soon as I heard that, my afternoon started going downhill. And then I go to this game. I walk in the building with my 13-year-old daughter. I sit in my seat, and I'm just saying to myself, this whole place feels flat. The building was flat. The fans were flat, and the Rangers were as sloppy as I can remember them being this year. Slow to the puck, sloppy passes, getting beat in every zone. I don't know, man. I'm worried. I'm worried, Keith. Talk to me, man.
Yeah,
I don't know what to do. I'm worried about this.
I was on Friday night, and I had to stop myself because I almost touched the money as well. A lot of us were living in the fact that they hadn't lost yet, going back to 1994, talking about how good this team is, how special this team is, and specifically in this series, how close it had been, but how the Rangers were able to edge the Hurricanes out for those first three wins. Now it feels like the tide has turned a bit.
Yeah.
And that happens in hockey. Sometimes the other team just has to win one game. And they won the one game in their building that they needed to stay alive. They come up to New York. Zoo and I are watching this game tonight. I'm like, the Carolina Hurricanes, they didn't score a goal until the 3 minutes, 3.5 minutes into the third period. And then it was like, bam, bam, bam. It was a complete different game. It was like, were they playing dead? Were they waiting to strike in the third period? But like you said, right, we don't have the sound on in here. I saw people were sitting down. I didn't see people up out of their seats. I didn't see any towels in the air. Trouba scored that first shorthanded goal. Maybe they weren't expecting that, but that was short-lived. Going into that third period, I said on the air, win this period. But that goes for both teams. And obviously the Hurricanes knew they had to win that period, and they completely outplayed them down the stretch.
Well, we're about to find out what this team is made of. You know, we had a nice, 3-0 lead, but now it's a whole different story, and we're going to find out what this team is made of. I don't know, man. Should we just, start the game shorthanded maybe? I mean, this team plays better shorthanded than they do 5-on-5. I mean, maybe we should just play shorthanded.
I need somebody to send me the numbers on this series in the power play. It almost doesn't make any sense.
No, dude, I'm worried. I don't know. I heard you even say, after game three, this series is over. I felt the same way.
I had to stop myself.
It ain't over, man. It ain't over.
I had to stop myself, but, in theory, you still expect the Rangers to get one win before the Carolina Hurricanes rip off the next two?
I'm still optimistic, man. We've got two chances to win this thing. I do not want a repeat of that series last year against the Devils, man. It looked like we were going to the next round. Next thing you know, we're
out.
Can't
blow a 3-0 lead. Can't. No, I mean, 2-0 is one thing. 3-0 is like...
Yeah, man.
They can't go completely cold four games in a row.
Well, I hope you're right, bro. I hope you're right. Right now, I'm a little worried. I'm sure everybody else that's listening is a little worried as well. But I still think we can do it, man. We still have two more chances.
They have to do it. Thanks for the call, Greg. See, now, this is why we love sports, right? The way it makes you feel. There's two sides of it. The thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. We thought there was going to be a small celebration tonight with the Rangers advancing and the Rangers moving on. Not yet. Not so fast, because those guys on the other side, they're professionals too. Those guys on the other side, they don't want to go home. They don't want their season to end. Oh, no, that got them. That's going to walk in a run, hit by pitch. That ties the game. It's going all bad. I'm about to go home, y'all. I got two more hours. I can't go home. Yo, what is happening? We're talking about the Knicks going up 2-0. But they go up 2-0. They lose OG Anunoby. Their record without OG Anunoby, not great. That series has flipped. The tide has turned with the Knicks and the Indiana Pacers. Game 5 coming up tomorrow. We come in tonight thinking it's going to be a Rangers night. The Rangers go up 1-0. Third period, I'm thinking the game's going to end 1-0. You get three goals and an empty net goal from the Hurricanes as they laugh their way out of here and go back to Raleigh, North Carolina. And now that series feels a lot different at 3-2. And the Mets were up 3-1 in this game, and then the Phillies come back. What are they challenging, whether that hit them or not? It clearly got them, no? Edwin Diaz, I took a call from someone about Edwin Diaz saying how he's not the same guy he was before he got paid. He's not the same guy as he was in 2022. I said, well, yeah, he got hurt. He missed an entire season. You're not getting the same guy back, but he's still one of the more effective guys in the entire sport coming out of that bullpen to close it down for you. And he's got two outs here. And then he loses control of that pitch. Let's see this replay again. No, that's not even a replay. I'm pretty sure. What were they challenging, Zoo? They weren't challenging the hit by pitch. Oh, they were challenging whether he went on the swing? It's tough to see. I don't know what they're challenging. They're not challenging whether. I know Mendoza's pissed.
No, they're looking at the hit by pitch.
They're still looking at the hit by pitch. Okay. I'm pretty sure everybody knows that Alec Boehm took that off his elbow, and that brought in the tying run to make it 4-4 in Citi Field. Here we go now, 25 pitches in, Edwin Diaz facing Bryce Harper with the bases loaded. Top of the ninth, two outs, 4-4. Let's see what Edwin Diaz does here. Regardless, we're going to the bottom of the ninth, and maybe we're going to extras with Manfred's man on second. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Now we're talking everything. Now we're talking Rangers, Knicks, as both of those series feel way different with the opponents having two wins. We've obviously spoken about the Yankees, everything from Judge to Gleyber Torres, to Gerrit Cole, Jason Dominguez, the catchers. And now we're looking at the Mets, some folks dressed up as dinosaurs in the Clover Club behind home plate. Edwin Diaz, hit by pitch, brings in the tying run. Keith McPherson on the Fan. We're up against it. I'll be right back.